is December 12th. Oh, I'm sorry, December 10th. And it's Sabbath day. And this is the hour that we get to look into the steps to Christ and see what the Lord has revealed unto her over 100 years ago. And it's nice to see that many more people are starting to see Ellen White as a prophet. You know, because, I mean, we know what it says in Joel chapter 2. And then it's echoed in the New Testament as well. But the current testimony, what would be a good thing? Because I don't like the term Old Testament, as you can tell. And it's obvious Brother Lawrence doesn't either, and many others, because it makes the Old Testament appear obsolete. But saying New Testament means, well, the first one must have been old. You know, and so I don't know. I'll just say in the Word of God, in the Gospels and the Epistles. There you go. So, but the Gospel's in the First Testament as well, but that's okay. It's especially in the construction of the sanctuary, everything in there, from even the colors and the amount of items. You know, it's amazing. I was just talking to somebody about that yesterday in regards to the candlestick with this person. And, you know, it's so sad when they think they have to insult you, and they think they have to use exclamation points, and they think, you know, to yell at you or something and demand that you believe them, and they don't give you any Bible verses to back it up. And they, you know, but that's today's world. It's like what Brother Lawrence was saying in regards to even the title of the study, of the sermon, you know, clarification and study, because that's why the people fell for it 2,000 years ago when they thought when Messiah came, he'd be all muscle-bound and he'd end Roman rule, because it was prophesied he would, you know, remove them from bondage, just like he did when he removed them from bondage with Moses. But the reality, and you know, you get the prophetic, you get the reality, you got the physical, you got the spiritual. And if they don't study the scriptures, they won't know the difference. Like the word death, or even the word wine, for that matter, means fermented and unfermented, or new wine and, of course, rotting wine. And yeah, they just looked at it in the way that even Moses, when he was called, he thought he was going to be called, obviously, beforehand, because he thought he's going to rule in Egypt, because that's why he killed that guy. Thought he's going to be out there and be their mechanical savior, if you will, or physical savior. And the Lord clarified that for him as well. And the Jews missed that 2,000 years ago. They thought Christ was to come to end Roman rule, but and you know, get them out of bondage, which he was. He was going to come and get them out of bondage. But the bondage of sin. I mean, he made that pretty clear to Nicodemus that one night, that it was about the bondage of sin. It wasn't the bondage of Rome. And then even clarified it even better to the woman at the well. And it's not about worshiping at this mountain or that mountain or any place. It's what's in the heart. That's what the Lord's more concerned with. And now in today's world, the devil did it again, using the same lies, but a little bit of a twist on his own lies. And now everybody thinks that when Jesus comes, he's going to cause peace on earth for 1,000 years. You know, and it's just not what the Bible says at all, because none of them look into the scriptures for clarification. They don't study for that clarification. So they're going to get their own private opinions. That's why there's so many different denominations. But I digress. So we're on page 89 of Steps to Christ. Oh, let me put it in the room here for you there on the stream. On page 89, Steps to Christ, we're on the bottom, almost the bottom, the second paragraph, I guess. And this is what it says this Sabbath. It says, God might have committed the message of the gospel and all the work of loving ministry to the heavenly angels. He might have employed other means for accomplishing his purpose. I mean, like he did in our day, if you think about it, because, again, getting back to Ellen White, many people are starting to realize she's a prophet, and because we're putting her out there, but you can't really use her on the street, obviously, because most people know scripture. But on the internet, like on a video or something like that, you could put some information there for them to look it up. Whereas on the street, that's not that easy, unless, of course, you have a long time to talk with them. You'd happen to be carrying a tract that proves what you're saying regarding her. Because I remember twice people approached me when I was a young man. First time I was a young man, and then the second time, I can't remember the age I was then. I think it was in my 30s by then. I had already left the Catholic Church by then. But when I was late teens, maybe 19 years old, somebody walked up to me in a greasy spoon, you know, like one of those restaurants that are really cheap, but they got great food. I was in one of those and in Oak Lawn, Illinois, and somebody, some man, I think it was a woman the first, I can't remember all that. I just remember what transpired. The person gave me a book with no front or back cover on the book. They ripped the cover off the book because the cover obviously had the name Ellen White on it. And they handed it to me, and I, of course, read a little bit, because the person just said, young man, you need to read this. And he handed it to me, or she handed it. I'm thinking it was a guy the first time. And I, you know, put it in the car, and hours later when I came home, I said, I'm going to take a look at it, you know, because I was always into prophecy, and I was kind of wondering if that had something to do with it. And then when I saw the $20 words, I put it down, and it wasn't until much later. And it happened again years later. Same thing happened. Somebody else came up to me. I think this was a, I don't even know where the second, I'm thinking that pool hall, but no, I doubt they would be in the pool hall. But it was a bowling alley with a pool hall in it. So they could have been at a bowling alley for all I know. But same thing. Young man, you need to read this. Person hands me a book, no front and back cover. And so, again, I put it down. And then years later, I'm preaching online on Fire Talk. You know, the first time they ever had audio chats, and we had our first church service there, and a brand new place. And some woman came in there by the name of Marilyn 126. And if you can hear me, Marilyn, please contact me. I haven't heard from you in years if you're still around. Because, then you know, that was a long time ago, so if she is, she's got to be in her late 80s, because that was like 20. Whenever the internet started, we jumped on pretty quick, right after the bulletin boards. So, my point in all this has to do with how, you know, like when Isaiah came around or Jeremiah came around, they hated him for what he was saying. You know, obviously they killed Isaiah and Jeremiah. They were not allowed to kill. And any of the apostles, you know, like, they had the same issues. You know, Paul they killed, obviously. John the Baptist they killed. And they killed a lot of them. And, that's what, you know, like the parable that the Lord says when they're killing all the workers or all the people that he sent to bring him the means that were theirs for blessing his land, you know, like they were husbandmen of the land and all that. And so we know about all that. And so they didn't kill Ellen White, but they try to spiritually kill her. They try to make her look like a plagiarist and all this other stuff. And when they don't even do some clarification and study, even if you just look at the clarification and study on something like plagiarism, it wasn't even invented. It wasn't a thing in her day. It just wasn't there. You quoted somebody, you just quoted their words. And if you were well-read, you knew who they were talking about. That was it. You didn't even have to put them in italics sometimes. And you didn't have to put page number and all that. But later on, they passed that law so Satan can call her a plagiarist today, because it was legal to quote people in your books without giving source if you didn't want to. Even though James White did it a lot when he was talking about the plagues, he did put sources in there, but boy, deep stuff in there. It's not an easy book to read, but boy, has it got a lot of good stuff in there about the plagues. And of course, the SDA Church removed the first 12 pages. No, that was the word, the little flock. They removed the first 12 pages. Because it talked about the plagues and what we're headed for. And so, again, my point in all this is they're attacking Ellen White in the exact same way they attacked all the patriarchs and prophets of old. Even down to the point where they have rewritten her books, and she even prophesied that they would do that. They rewrote her books in the same way they rewrote Scripture. All those bogus Bibles out there, you know, like NASB, the NLT, the NIV. I mean, the Douay Rheims, they got thousands and thousands of verses missing. And I put the CSB on the The most recent video I did is because Joe Kovacs is making all these crazy claims about the shepherds going to resurrect in our day in the coming months and start preaching to people when it's not what the Bible says anywhere. But his Bible says the word shepherds, even though Jeremiah used the word pastor. So they're going to do what they got to do. And the Lord's going to do what he has to do. That's why she said he might have employed other means for accomplishing his purpose. But she goes on, she says, but in his infinite love, he chose to make us co-workers with himself, with Christ and the angels, that we might share the blessing, the joy, the spiritual uplifting with results from this unselfish ministry. But here's the caveat on all this. You know, when Satan saw that the Lord was going to use mankind, boy, can he play around in that playground, if you will, because mankind is fallible. And so that's why there's a movement out there right now, the anti-Pauline movement, declaring Paul a false apostle, because he was a human. It's just like with Ellen White. She's a false prophet because she was a human and she's faulty. She's made mistakes. They all made mistakes. Look at all the prophets. Every one of them made a mistake. Look at Elijah. That guy even went to heaven on a chariot of fire, but boy, did he mess up with that woman, Jezebel. He got scared and ran from her. He had a little lack of faith that day, and he's a prophet, one of the most powerful ones, used of God. So she goes on. She says, we are brought into sympathy with Christ through the fellowship of his sufferings. And so this is why we're slandered and attacked and lied about, and people call us a cult and whatever. The actual definition of a cult, I actually made a video about that years ago. It's an old video on YouTube that I got on there. And I got a page on the website. Just go to remedygod.org/6 signs of a cult, or maybe it's just cult. I don't even remember. But it's in the menu list, you know. You can find it there, or just look up 6 signs of a cult on my YouTube page. Every single sign of a cult is embraced by the Vatican, right down it, making sure people that are involved in their cult, the leaders, are locked away from their family. They call it convents and rectories, but nobody calls that a cult for some strange reason. Why? Because they got the political power. But we know the truth. And that's all that matters. They can say whatever they want to say to us, because they did the same thing to our Lord, our Savior, our King. They did it to all the apostles. And so we're going to have fellowship in his sufferings, like she says here. We are definitely going to have fellowship in this suffering. Some of us, many of us, myself included, have been dealing with this kind of suffering for decades, ever since we left the Catholic Church. Or SDA Church for some of you. I was never SDA, historic, for a while, but I don't even think we ever joined that one church. I was preaching there, but I don't remember. Yeah, that's right. They did excommunicate me because I refused to bow to false theology. You know. Anyway, going on, it says, every act of self-sacrifice for the good of others strengthens the spirit of beneficence in the giver's heart. Let me reread that for you. Every act of self-sacrifice for the good of others strengthens the spirit of beneficence in the giver's heart, allying him more closely to the Redeemer, capital R, of the world, who was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And it is only as we thus fulfill the divine purpose in our creation that life can be a blessing to us. It always amazes me, too, when I look in the Word of God and I see stuff like, bless your land if you keep his law. I think, let me just look it up real quick here, unless one of you know what I'm talking about. Bless your land. Heal your land, I think it is. Yeah, heal, land, and then commandments. Maybe I misspelled something. Because it ain't coming up. Maybe it lands, you know. No, it ain't in there. Maybe I miss. It's really hard to read this. Yeah, amen to that. Yeah. Because that's what that's the same thing, excommunication and disfellowshipping, and the way they do it, too. They use Jewish and Catholic lawyers. And they won't do Matthew 18 in an SDA church. I don't know if anybody's ever noticed that. We do that here because that's your duty. If someone in the church falls off the path, we approach one-on-one. If they ignore that which we share, we bring a witness, two or three witnesses. Let everything be assured, right? And then if they refuse that, then we bring them in front of the church family. Sadly, 8 out of 10 times so far, most of them will not stand in front of the church family. They don't want to air their dirty laundry, and they leave the church for some strange reason. That's how strong a hold some demons have on people. But then, of course, the 1 Timothy 5, verses 19 to 21, where if a leader in the church falls, then the Matthew 18 version of that is 1 Timothy 5. But those you have to publicly, rebuke in front of everyone because they're a leader and they can cause others to fall. Whereas the people in the pews, no, you don't do that to them. There's no need to. It's just, it's a precious soul. Well, so is the pastor that leaves, but still. If he refuses to get off the pulpit, you have to expose him. It's just too dangerous. And if we, fulfill the divine purpose, like she's saying here, then our lives become a blessing to others as well. She says, if you will go to work as Christ designs, that his disciples shall. Another word for disciples is students. And then she says, and win souls for him, you will feel the need of a deeper experience and a greater knowledge in the divine things and will hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I got to tell you, it's one of the things I love about this church family. It's a working church. And all of us know about this hungering and thirsting after righteousness and how he's opening his word to us. Because, Brother Samuel was saying in regards to praying before you open the word, I think it was Samuel, right? Because if you don't pray before you read the word, don't expect to understand it, because a lot of people don't understand it. You got to ask God for help, because it's not an easy book to read. There is stuff in there that is very easy, the basic stuff for the babes in Christ. I mean, our God would not write a book his children couldn't understand. And then as they get closer and closer to him, he speaks more and more to you, And that's just the way he does it. And it works like that. And he opens it up to us. And he blesses us with the divine understanding. And so she says, you will plead with God. Those of us that go out and actually do this work and go forth and share our faith, even if it's just handing tracts to people or sticking tracts in bathrooms or in books and libraries and pockets and stores, whatever, or inside of a shoe and a shoebox or something. You will plead with God, and your faith will be strengthened, and your soul will drink deeper draughts at the well of salvation. But like we were discussing, a couple, 3 weeks ago, maybe even last week, and a lot of us did this back when we first started, like as Christians, we thought, well, to quit smoking, let's say, it could take a while. And it does for some folks. And it did for me the second time until I heard the still small voice. And then, bam, I just quit. It was gone. Everything was gone. But the main reason he delivered me from the cigarettes is because I made the absolute decision in my heart. And he knew it because he reads hearts. But I made the absolute decision in my heart. That's it. I'm done. Never going to pick up another cigarette, throw out the lighter, everything. Gone. And then, because he knew I meant it, bam, I was a non-smoker. Same thing with the alcohol. When I found out it was wrong to drink it. Because when I became a Christian, still a Sunday keeper, I didn't think there was anything wrong with alcohol. Really didn't know it. But he didn't leave my side. Come as you are, he said, right? We know what that means. I mean, what good is redemption from Christ if you can lose it in one day? Seriously. It wouldn't mean anything. And there wouldn't be any strength behind it. He's going to be there for you. He's going to help you. And it's all like when you fall and trip and fall. There's 1 John 1:9 right there. Confess. He'll take care of it. But yeah, the only way to get rid of it is to make the final decision and quit. Just quit. And then when he realizes you made that decision, then you're delivered from it, and you'll never drink, you'll never smoke, whatever the case is. But you got to make that decision. Did anybody find that verse I was looking at for? The one about healing your lands, you know, they say, keep my commandments and heal. Oh, I don't think it was bless your land. I think it was heal your land. I'm sorry, I'm kind of foggy today. But she goes on to say here that encountering opposition on trials will drive you to the Bible and to prayer. That's if you're serious. Okay. Because if people aren't serious, then, you know, they're not going to make that final decision just to quit. Because when you make the final decision, he knows, he read your heart, and then bam, he'll help you quit. The craving's gone. And the people that would try to cause, thank you. Thank you, Brother Arthur. There it is. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It says, I'm actually contemplating emailing this, texting this to a bunch of loved ones that I, you know, and I got a lot of them. I got, well, 9 siblings now because my sister Nina died. And then, you know, my kids and my friends and anybody I can, this verse, because a lot of them are having financial difficulties. And I say, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Because I remember when my wife and I made that final decision many, many years ago, everything was, it was great. I mean, it wasn't like all of a sudden we're millionaires, because we still ain't. It's not about what it is down here. We don't care about this world. We just assume leave it. But, and then when we found out about tithing, oh man, didn't know about tithing. You know, as Sunday keepers, we didn't know. Because also, you know, the Catholic Church, for example, well, that church that we left, all it was just throw a couple of bucks in the basket as it comes down your aisle or your pew. Same thing in the Baptist church, because we left Catholic Church and we started frequenting a bunch of Baptist churches, and especially the ones that didn't say that once under grace, always under grace was legit. And then non-denominationals, but then we found out later that the non-denominationals were liars. They were all Pentecostals, but they changed their name to hide their, you know, it's just, you can't use deception to, it's just like what they did back in 321 AD. Hey, let's open the doors of the Christian churches on Sunday now to bring in the pagans. And the Seventh-day Adventists did and literally said, almost word for word, in writing, I got a video about it, the same thing. And they actually tested it in Las Vegas for a whole year, where they had a pastor open up a church in Las Vegas that was only open on Sundays. And he says, we're doing this to bring in the Sunday keepers. Oh, so you're going to use deception to bring them to Christ. You're going to tell them this is a Sunday-keeping church when your modus operandi here is to get them to keep Sabbath. That ain't going to work. And it didn't. So going on, she said, you will grow in grace. You know, those of us that do this and do this honestly and work for the Lord, share our faith, do all that good stuff, you will grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ and will develop a rich experience. The spirit of unselfish labor for others gives depth, stability, and Christ-like loveliness to the character and brings peace and happiness to its possessor. I want to mention names here, but I'm not. But there are some in this church family, some very close to me, in fact, that the world would say they're generous to a fault. They would give a little bit too much, let's say, to help others. But what they're not seeing is the blessings that come back. And they're not doing it for the blessings. It's just because Christ in them, you know, the Holy Spirit in them, sent by Christ, so they're in agreement, so Christ in them, will move them to do that. And it brings peace and happiness to the one doing it. I mean, we've all heard the saying, right? It's better to give than to receive. Some people go, well, what? They don't want to hear that because they want the gift, right? But try it sometime. Well, I'm speaking to the choir here. And so, yeah, most of you already know what I'm talking about here. But when you give somebody something they need, I'm not talking about a birthday gift or a Christmas bauble. I'm talking about something they need. You know, it really does bless your heart. It brings joy to your heart because you help someone in need, especially if you yourself were once like that. Like my wife and I, when we first got married, it was all we can do to get 2 nickels rubbed together. And some people did help us. And it really was amazing that they helped us. And so I know when we help someone, we know how amazing it is to them, because it just doesn't happen, especially in today's world. It just does not happen. And so it's a shocker to them. Most people go to the government for the help. Why? Because they're setting the stage for socialism. I like that video I made where I actually put their video in there where they were literally saying, you're not going to own anything. You're not going to own a car. You're not going to own a house. You're not going to have this. You're not going to have that. But you're going to be happy. What is it, Star Trek in the year 12,000 or something? Because that's, you know, like even with the Star Trek things when I used to watch many years ago, because I don't do TV anymore, but that's what it was kind of like. It was like everybody was just involved, and everybody just worked, and you didn't have any riches. You didn't have any money. You just had what you needed, everything. I mean, they had things that would create the things you needed, like, you know, it was kind of like a hologram where they would make food just by pushing a button. And that's the other, like, it's just Falderall, it's Shangri-La, it's whatever, it's some crazy, you know, euphoria of these elite that they actually think that, you know, but they're just hornswoggled by the enemy of souls, their dying God. So going on, it says the aspirations are elevated. You know, when we do these good things for others that the Lord sends our way, and that she says there is no room for sloth or selfishness. Those who thus exercise the Christian graces will grow and will become strong to work for God. They will have a clear spiritual perceptions. They will have clear spiritual perceptions, I'm sorry. And then she says a steady, growing faith and an increased power in prayer. That's another thing, too. Boy, we have seen as a church family, and if you're new to us, to this church family, the Seventh-day Remnant movement, stop by the first Sabbath of every month when we do testimony service. No sermon, nothing. Just, well, we do, you know, the children's study and then the adult study, of course, and then adult study at 4 o'clock as well, and then the steps to Christ. But the sermon hour is all testifying. Everybody that wants to get on the mic gets on the mic and tells everybody what the Lord did the last 30 days. It's an amazing thing to witness. She says, the Spirit of God moving upon their spirit calls forth the sacred harmonies of the soul in answer to the divine touch. Those who thus devote themselves to unselfish effort for the good of others are most surely working out their own salvation. Remember what Paul said about work out your own salvation daily? And so the only way to grow in grace is to be disinterestedly doing, boy, that's a big word, doing the very work which Christ has enjoined upon us, to engage the extent of our ability in helping and blessing those who need the help we can give them. Now, here's the thing, and I've noticed this, that especially when you get up in years and stuff like that, and let's say you've been a Christian for decades, and so it's not like you all of a sudden found out you're a babe at the age of 80. Well, I'm talking about people that have means to help, but they can't get out and hit the street, let's say. Let's say they're, you know, up in years, big, just kind of bent over a little bit in pain or whatever. And but they can help others do it by funding their efforts. Like, say, somebody in the church family wants to go out on a street corner and have a big old sign saying, proof, the end is near. And, you know, you make sure they have the money to get the signs and then the tracks and everything. And, by the way, I want to work on a track about that. I mean, I'm not talking about the book People Get Ready or even the updated version, We Are Very Near the End. We've got so much happening in our life now in just the last 3 years alone. Yeah. We got so much fodder for our canons of truth that we can just put together a tract that literally says what everybody's seen the last 3 years is overwhelming evidence we're a lot closer to the return of Christ than anybody realizes. And so if you make a tract like that, start handing it out on street corners, I'm sure some of the brethren in the church family that don't have the ability to go out and actually do that. Let's say they got a 9-to-5 job. You can't do it. Or a 9-to-9 job like my dad did for decades. 9 in the morning till 9 at night. That was it. He had 11 kids, and so he kind of had no choice. But yeah, and so you can't really do this, but you can help those who can. And those who need the help, we can give them, she says. So strength comes by exercise. Activity is the very condition of life. Those who endeavor to maintain Christian life by passively accepting the blessings that come through the means of grace and doing nothing for Christ are simply trying to live by eating without working. There's a lot of them that do that. And in the spiritual, as in the natural world, this always results in degeneration and decay. A man who would refuse to exercise his limbs would soon lose all power to use them. And especially when you get up in years like I have, you better be stretching and exercising every single, well, except Sabbath, of course. But yeah, you need that. You know, I mean, I do it every day, but I guess some people figure, well, three times a week is fine. And that is, it's fine. But I, you know, like doing it every day, except Sabbath. And it helps. All the aches and pains of, you know, are gone. You know, because I sit behind a computer all day. And so, yeah, I got to get up and move around, do some stuff. Because, yeah, it'll kill you. It killed a lot. I know a lot of people that decided they had a very busy, busy job. They retire 2-3 years later, they're dead. Because they sit at home and vegetate. No, get out there. Keep busy. So, going on, she says, thus the Christian who will not exercise his God-given powers not only fails to grow up into Christ, but he loses the strength that he already had. Think about that in the coming days, too, by the way. Well, think about that for what's coming in the coming days. Because if we sit back and just do nothing, then he's going to know he can't trust us to go forth in the loud cry. Some of you think, well, you know, I'm dumb as a bag of rocks. Well, I think the same way, too, myself, especially because I can't memorize. But boy, that promise in John 14:26 is legit. He really does bring those verses to your mind whenever you need them. But you got to stay active. You got to stay in the Word, the Scriptures, daily. Study it daily. And then, of course, pray. Minimum 3 times a day. Everybody prays when they get up in the morning. Everybody prays before they go to bed at night. So all you got to do is just one more time, midday prayer like Daniel, right? 3 times a day. And it's a blessing. He wants to spend time with you. He's your Father. He's your God, too, but at the same time, he's your Father. You visit your dad once in a while when he was alive? I used to talk to mine 2-3 times a week because he lived so far away. Or I lived so far away, better yet. I'm the one that moved away like an idiot. But I know many of you know exactly what I'm talking about there, but he wants to spend time with you. Top of all that, you're his bride. You're his son's bride. And what kind of a relationship would a husband and wife have if neither one of them even talked to each other for weeks on end or days on end or whatever? Yeah, amen to that. God did put Adam and Eve in a garden. Keep them busy. Keep the body moving. Keep everything flowing right. So, amen, Sister Deb. So, going on. The Church of Christ is God's appointed agency for the salvation of men. Its mission is to carry the gospel to the world. Remember what happened when they were sitting there twiddling their thumbs in Jerusalem and go forth, and so the Lord allowed persecution to come to get them, to scatter them, to get the Christians out there. Because what happens when a Christian leaves an area? They bring their faith wherever they go. They're like an open book. That's what we're supposed to be like, right? An open book has 66 different books in it. So going on. And the obligation rests upon all Christians, 100% all Christians. And again, if you can't do the work because, you know, your own secular work, and there's nothing wrong with being in secular employment. I did it for 17 years before I went full-time, and I didn't even want to go, well, I wanted to go full-time, but I was scared because, you know, I had a lack of faith. But bloom where you're planted. I always liked that sign I saw at a campground once, bloom where you're planted. And so you got a 9-to-5, you find Christ, share Christ with everybody you can, you know. I mean, don't do it to a point where you're going to get fired, you know, stop working and then just all of a sudden start preaching. Yeah, they're going to kick you to the curb. But share Christ in your demeanor. Share Christ in every way you know how. You know, and if they ask a question, then yeah, you got the floor. But anyway, this rests on all Christians. And so if you can't do it physically, you can stick a track here and there. That's not hard to do even if you got a 9-to-5. But at the same time, you can also help those that can go forth, especially those that have decided recently in this church family to go full-time ministry. There's quite a few of them now that we're helping. You guys are helping, by the way. You know, we make sure they get taken care of. So going on, everyone to the extent of his talent and opportunity is to fulfill the Savior's commission. Remember when he was ascending in front of the apostles? Yeah. So the love of Christ revealed to us makes us debtors to all who know him not. It's just like I was saying just the other day. Our children in the Seventh-day Adventist movement know more than theologians do out there in the world, because they don't study the word and they don't, you know, believe it for the most part. They're in it for the money. If anybody has ever gone to a cemetery, or some people call them seminaries, if you've ever gone to those places, you'll see how they teach the preachers how to make money. That's what their main concern is. They're not there to teach the men or the women how to bring souls in. They used to do that, you know, probably 100-something years ago, but they don't do that anymore. Now it's all about making money. And a lot of people have seen that and turned around and walked out and didn't want anything to do with that. It's best to be trained in the same way John the Baptist was. Just, you know, study the word and let the Lord take it from there. And when he sees that you're serious, he'll give you inside information. And then think about this, though. He's given you this information about who the Antichrist is, right? He's given you this information as to their plans. He's given you this information in regards to what they're doing with the so-called vaccine and all these other things that they're doing all around the world. And so you're just supposed to sit home and twiddle your thumbs? There's a reason he's given you that information, because there's people in your circle of friends that have never heard it before. You might want to just bring it up once in a while. I mean, and you don't have to do it in a way where it's going to get them all upset and in your face. You can do it, you know, because, and test this. And it's an easy way to do this on the street, where I remember decades ago, you get in a conversation with somebody on a bus, because me and Pastor Russ used to do that. We'd get on a bus, we'd go all the way to one end of this city, like a half an hour, take the bus for a whole half an hour, get off the bus, get on another bus, and go back to where our cars were parked. We didn't need to get on the bus. We just wanted to get on there and start conversations about, hey, did you see what was on the news the other day? You know, I was kind of wondering, I think I saw it in prophecy. And then someone hears that and they bring a question up or that, and more, you're just sharing with everybody. I've done it in elevators and egghead software stores, you know, and you start a conversation, and, you know, it's interesting to see how people will actually start asking you questions. You don't have to stand on, I mean, if you want to, I mean, I praise God for guys that do this, because, you know, standing literally on a soapbox and proclaiming the truth like a megaphone or something like that, God bless you. I mean, that is the ultimate way to do it. And go out there, and then you're going to get flack, you're going to get some good stuff too, though, right? But there's other ways of doing it too, to where you can get them to ask the questions, and then they're not going to walk away when you're talking to them, because they asked the question, and so you're going to answer it, and you're going to have a back and forth. But you'll start to realize too that, and it's just normal conversation. But you're going to start to realize too that some people don't want to hear it, but some people do. You don't have to be shy about something like this. It could just be like you're talking to any stranger about anything. You know, I mean, would you? There's all sorts of examples running through my mind. I can't pick one. But there's just so many ways to say something to a complete stranger without offending them. You walk by, oh, hi, how you doing today, or something like that, and somehow get a interest, all sorts of interesting ways. What I like to do is just, I have these little tracks that some of the brothers made, especially the one about the mark, and I'm low on these, by the way, guys. I don't know who's making these, but I'm low on the little cards. I like the big ones, too, that Brother Alvin's doing, and then, of course, mine, but the ones I carry with me everywhere, they're always in my pocket, are business card size. And I like the one about the where it says it's all about worship. The mark of the beast is not a barcode. It's not a very chip and stuff like that. And then on the back it says, well, climate change is going to bring about the mark of the beast, right? You know, 5 seconds, 10 seconds. Every UPS guy or FedEx guy that comes here knows what I'm talking about here, because this is, yeah, it's going to happen in your lifetime. Check it out. It's more or less what I say. I hand him the track, the little tiny card, and I go, like he hands me the box, says, okay, I got something for you too. And I goes, what's that? And I says, well, it's just a quick little study, you know, a seed that I want to plant that you're not going to be able to unhear. I'll even say that with some of these guys, and I have. And as you know, what they're going to be doing, says keep an eye on climate change. What they're going to be doing with climate change is they're going to use religious laws to enforce it, and that has to do with the mark of the beast. It has nothing to do with a barcode. It has nothing to do with a chip implant or a 666 thing or nothing. The 666 is the numbers of man's name. And that's about all I ever say. If that, that even was a little more than what I liked. I wouldn't bring up the 666 thing, let's say. I just hammer the track. And that's, you know, that's so easy to do. I mean, the first time, you know, you might be a little shy on it, but try it with people that are giving you something like deliveries, or you're in a grocery store. I did it with grocery. I still do it with the grocery stores. Like, she's handing me the receipt. I says, okay, thank you. Now I got something for you. And I'll talk 5 seconds, maybe. That's it. Walk away. Planted a seed. That's all I wanted. Or on the phone. Do it on the phone too. Because that's what she's talking about. This is the Great Commission. This is what Jesus told us to do. And the only opportunities we have to do it is in society. And where is society? Well, it's in the grocery store. You're driving down the road. It's there too. It's on the phone when you're calling tech support, or you're actually getting, you know, you're talking to a bill collector. And says, oh, and by the way, before I'm ready to get off the phone with you and thank you for all your help, you mind if I plant a seed? And 9 times out of 10, they know what you're talking about. And I tell them about, you know, keep an eye on climate change. They're going to use religious laws to enforce it very soon. That has to do with the mark of the beast, because every time you see the mark of the beast mentioned in Scripture, in the book of Revelation, the word worship is right there with it. That's it. That's really all I ever say. And thank you, Lord, for reminding me. Because it's that easy. And on the phone. And that's easy on the phone, too, because you're not looking at anybody if you're shy and stuff like that. And if you got a hard time with looking at somebody between the eyes, because I did when I was a kid. When I was young, and my dad showed me a trick that he used when he was young, because he was in sales, right? And he goes, because every time I looked, I couldn't look my dad in the eye. I couldn't look, you know, adults in the eye and stuff like that when I was like 9 or 10. And he says, just look at a dot right between their eyebrows. Just look between their eyebrows. You're not looking in their eyes, because sometimes that freaks you out when you're a kid, looking in someone's eyes, because that's the... like the windows to the soul, as we were taught when we were kids, right? So a scary place to be. And so he told me, just look right between their eyes on that blank spot between the eyebrows. They can't even tell you're not looking in their eyes. They think you're looking in their eyes. Try it. It literally works. Oh, yeah, the track, the business card tracks, I think Alvin is sdrtracks.org. I think that's Brother Alvin. I think that business card tracks are on that site, too. But he's got all the really, really nice tracks that kind of fold out. They're a little bigger than a business track until you open them. And I carry those too, but I have to keep them in my upper pocket because they won't fit in a pants pocket without getting wrinkled because you're walking and stuff. But yeah, sdrtracks.org, right? Let me go there real quick. Well, let me go there on the stream so you can see what I'm talking about here. sdrtracks. Oops, too many T's there. I'm thinking it's .org. You got a picture on the site somewhere that's crashing out the padlock, bro. You need, you know, it's easy to fix. There's a website called Why My Padlock Is Locked. I can't remember the name of it. But just look up padlock on websites. But it's on this. There it is. There's one of them there. God's Law versus Man's Law. There's a business card track right there. And there's all the videos and stuff. There's the, let's see, where's the, I don't remember. These are the really big, nice looking tracks. Oops. Here we go. Tracks. There, okay. There's all the tracks there. These are double the size of business. No, are these those business card tracks that are double the size? Yeah. Yeah, these are all here. And then you got the regular, like, these are the kinds I always make. You know, the big ones. And, oh, wow, there's my Antichrist track. And, oh, here's the business card tracks. Okay, for those of you that, I'll put this link in the room real quick here. I got to jump back over there. Because brothers and sisters, oh, yeah. That's something we got to look at. Good point, Brother Caleb. Putting QR codes on the tracks is going to work to get them additional info, because a lot of people, there's a link in the room, by the way, for the tracks. A lot of people need a lot of more information, right? Because these tracks carry a lot, but not all of it. And so we should put a QR code. I mean, we got the website addresses and stuff on these tracks. Like, let's see, let me go to the Antichrist thing. I think it's on the back. Yeah, right there, remnagod.org. I don't put it in text anymore. They can see it right there. That's on the bottom of every one of my web pages, on the bottom of every one of my videos. But I think this is 8.5 by 14, and that's decades. That's my favorite track. And there's a lot more than 11 prophecies that expose the Pope as Antichrist, but these are or 12. These are my favorite ones. I think it was like 26 or 27 of them. There's hundreds of them, but the ones that are very easy to use are like 11, and then like 26 are the limit for the really easy ones. So, but yeah, there's that card that I use a lot. And then the other one about counterfeit second coming and the real second coming. Now, these you can print. The way Elvin's got this set up, you can print them on your own printer, and then, yeah. If you got double-sided printers, like most do, you know, you just go into the configs and it'll flip for you really easy. But there, it says the mark of the beast is not this. That's a chip. That's actually not the very chip, but that's just a regular chip. And then it says, and it's not a barcode, because when I was doing the street preaching back in the Sunday keeping days, I thought the mark of the beast had something to do with the barcode, because being a computer programmer, I knew that the two thin lines on the left side, the two thin lines on the right side, and the two thin lines in the middle is the number 6. So all barcodes are based on 666, all of them. Why? Because it's loyalty unto the Pope. You got to have the barcode on everything you buy and sell now, so that when they remove buying and selling, the barcode's going to crash you out. You can't buy and sell, or you can't sell your product. And then this is the back of the track, where it talks about the climate change. It's as quick as we can put it. And then, of course, there's the link, climatechange.htm on my site. But, yeah, putting a little QR code on there somewhere. Let me see what the... Oh, okay. Thanks, Caleb. So Caleb's going to make some QR codes for me. He's going to email them to me, and then we'll figure that out. We'll go from there. And then I'll get with Elvin on it, too, later on, because him and I... and then, of course, Elvin and Eli, I don't know. I think it's just Alvin doing the tracks right now. But and then we can put the QR codes on the books. So we got to get with Eli and Sean on that, because we got those big books that we hand out for free. And praise the Lord for that, too, because he's given us the means by which to do it. And I forgot where I left off here. So did I highlight anything? Let me see. Okay, let's just start back on this. I'm gonna reread this anyway, because it never hurts to reread it, right? Let me get back in the chat room. But thanks again, Caleb. Okay, placing the credit card slot. He's jumping in my brain, and I'm jumping in his brain. What Eli does is what I do. After I get gasoline, I take a track and I stick it into where the credit card slot is, but I let it stick out just a little bit so somebody doesn't not realize there's a card in there, and I'll stick the track in there and have it stick out just enough to where they can grab it and take it out. They got a track in hand. So, and I've done this to my loved ones when I was very young in the faith. I would literally go to their cars when they weren't around, and I would open up their gas lid, you know, to put gas in their car, because back then they didn't have the automatic things. Well, some people had locks on their gas caps, but it didn't matter. You could still open the lid to get to the gas cap. Well, I would open the lid, I'd stick a track in there and close the lid. So, okay, what's this? Sister Amanda just put a QR code in the room. Does that lead to anything? It's just going to show a picture of the QR code. Yeah, so that's a QR code. That's not a barcode, but still. It's just the computer eyeball reads, because the dots are in specific areas that only connect with whatever website you want the people to go. Like if they click or take a picture of that QR code on their cell phone, which everybody's got one now, it'll bring them right to the website or the web page that you want them, or the video you want them to watch. And so, yeah, we got to get with Caleb on this, because we got to, you know, there's certain pages that we want to be, QR codes, like Mark of the Beast page or even specific videos and stuff like that. So getting back. Boy, that was nice little avenue, jump off the regular direction we were going here. But she goes, but then it is part of what we were talking about, because that's our duty, you know, the Savior's commission here, like he said, like she said down here. And that's where I left off. Okay, let's see. God has given us light, not for ourselves alone, but to shed upon them. And so, yeah, and that's the thing. When I first found Christ, I couldn't shut up. You know, who'd have thought, huh? But, yeah, because you want to tell people what you found. You know, peace in Jesus. I mean, the very first person I ever called on this was my wife to let her know what just happened, because it was a pretty amazing experience. I was all alone, and I'm not going to share it again because I've shared it 100 times probably. And then, of course, after that, I called my ma. So going on, it says, if the followers of Christ were awake to duty, there would be thousands where there is one today, proclaiming the gospel in heathen lands. Think about that. Here's another thing. TheLoudCry.org. Let me just go there real quick. TheLoudCry.org. I think I have it on this page somewhere. Oh, those are all the Loud Cry. There's that other track I was talking, you know, the second coming on one side of Jesus, and then the false, you know, the fake. This one here is the other side. But, and then it shows Revelation 14:18.org. Haven't really done much with that one. I think I also got a web page called PopeIsAntichrist.com. We don't do these big billboards anymore. That big one there was donated, as well as others. These we used to do, and I might start doing those again too, but I would still do the website, but I would do it in I think you could put a QR code on there too. And I would point it to a specific page, not just the whole site. But let's see, we are now in 220, well, all countries on the planet. Even the Pope can't do that. See, that's the power of our God. We have people in every single solitary nation now that visit the site on a regular basis. And we never, and here's the neat, the really nice thing. I don't know if I have it on this page. No, I don't. I got it on the Loud Cry page on my main site where there's, I don't even know how many people. I haven't updated it in so long. Let's go there real quick. I just want to show you something. We never asked a single person to help us do this work, ever. You know? Until and then now, if they're brothers and sisters in the faith, we might ask us, hey, bro, can you help me out with, you know, writing up this track or changing this or changing that? Well, we'll do that now, but we got to meet them first. We don't actually go to any countries and ask people to help us. Well, let me see if the Loud Crier, I think that's it right there. Yeah, because we were in newspapers. Brother Duane used to do the newspapers all the time. There was one there. And there it is, 928 people. Now, I haven't updated this, obviously, in a few years because I've been concentrating on the other sites. But 621 people in the United States alone back in 2019 that are handing out our tracks, our DVDs, and our books without ever us asking them to do so. And then, of course, 314 in all the other nations. And but we actually have brethren. Now, these are people that I know for a fact that are handing things out because they ask for help here or they ask for help there in regards to do these things, right? But the people that are in all the other nations, we know they're evangelizing. We know they're sharing their faith. Whether or not they're handing things out, unless they contact us and let us know they're actually doing this, I don't put them on this list here. These are all the countries that there's physically, you know, handing stuff out. Look at that. And this was in 2019. We had 130 in the Philippines, 32 in Canada. And so, but yeah. And the reason I'm sharing all that is because this is more or less what Sister White's talking about here, is we have a duty. And you can't help but to do this when the people want to go forth and do it. And I don't know, and I've been looking outside of the Seventh-day Remnant people that we have links to on our websites. I don't know if, and I've been looking for years. I'm always looking for a preacher to listen to. You know, I'll go to some old Joe Cruz audios and videos and stuff like that, you know, before that all got all corrupted up with Doug Batchelor. But because I just give up. I can't find anybody. I praise God that when we get more and more brothers in faith getting up and sharing their faith, and making videos, it makes for a nicer Sabbath, you know, because I mean, I still do my studies and stuff, my extra stuff on Sabbath, but I want to hear a preacher, you know, because, and that's why I praise God for my brother stepping up too, and I get to hear a preacher, a couple of them every Sabbath now. Never used to be like that. And some of you, if you have videos and websites, please let us know. We'll link you out on the main site. And we've got quite a few people hitting the main site every month, millions. And so going on, if the followers of Christ were awake to duty, there would be thousands where there is one today, proclaiming the gospel in heathen lands. And all who could not personally engage in the work, like we were talking about earlier, you know, folks that are 9 to 5 or let's say they're old or sick or something, she says, all who could not personally engage in the work would yet sustain it with their means, their sympathy, and their prayers. That's the most important, by the way, prayers. You know, that's more powerful than money. You know, I've seen this my whole Christian life. I've never asked for donations. I ask the Father for help, and then all of a sudden, if it's His will that we do this or that, and then, yeah, we get what we need. He makes sure it comes without ever asking a single human. Prayer is powerful here because He knows you're serious. You really want to do this work. And so pray and ask Him to not only just help you overcome and all this other stuff, but give you opportunities to share your faith. And that's another thing. He'll keep sending you people when you keep helping Him. And then you'll get wiser and wiser and wiser in the Scripture, because when you help others, He'll bless you even more. We're all living proof of that, you know, that do this kind of work. And so she says, and there would be far more earnest labor for souls in Christian countries. We need not go to heathen lands. Now, here's another thing, because I was trying to talk to one of my brother-in-laws decades ago. Says, why do you go to Haiti? Seriously, why do you go to Haiti? Well, I want to share the Lord. They probably never know. Said, dude, you know, down the block here, this guy is an atheist. This guy over here, he's a drug addict. Or this guy, there's people in your neighborhood. Bloom where you're planted. I never had that term back then, but boy, I would have used it off the chart back then. But she says here, we need not go to heathen lands or even leave the narrow circle of the home if it is there that our duty lies in order to work for Christ. We can do this in the home circle, in the church, among those with whom we associate and whom we do business. The greater part of our Savior's life on earth was spent in patient toil in the carpenter shop at Nazareth. Ministering angels attended the Lord of life as He walked side by side with peasants and laborers, unrecognized and unhonored. He was as faithfully fulfilling His mission while working at His humble trade as when He healed the sick or walked upon the storm-tossed waves of Galilee. So, in the humblest duties and lowliest positions of life, we may walk and work with Jesus. Let me see how much further we got to go here with this chapter. Nah, we're not going to get out of this chapter this week. So, let me see. Okay, we'll just pick it up here because I just looked at the clock. We want to do our fellowship now. And so for the next 30 minutes, because Sean's going to step up 30 minutes from now, so I'm going to stop it here on what page are we on? Page 93. And so if you can please kneel, we'll close in prayer here. Please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank You so very much for blessing us with a desire in our heart to go forth. But some of us have a little bit of shyness, if you will, and that's okay. It shows a humble heart. But at the same time, we need a little bit of a push from You to go forward and share our faith with others, even if it's just handing them a tract and not having to say anything, because that really says it all. And so please bless each and every one of us with more and more opportunities to share our faith so that more and more precious brothers and sisters join this eternal family that we're going to be able to be hanging out with for all eternity when we get home. And thank You for blessing us with additional wisdom, discernment, focus, retention, and understanding of that, of your will and your word. And thank you for blessing again everybody on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. Father, there's just so many. There's billions now, and we got a lot of work ahead of us, and we understand now why we're in every country, because we got a lot of work. And so thank you for blessing each and every worker in every single country that's out there right now, and bless them with the means by which to do this work, and the wisdom and the understanding and the eyes to see what they need to see and the ears to hear your will. And we offer this prayer unto you and praise in the name of your precious Son, our Savior, our King for eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.